You're listening to live courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. All persons having anything to do before the Honorable Beverly Cannoni, the Justice of the Superior Court, holding in Dedham, within and for the County of Norfolk. Draw near, give your attendance, and you shall be heard. God save the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. This court is in session. Please be seated.
Good morning, counsel. Good morning, Ms. Reed.
Good morning, jurors.
Good morning.
So I have to ask you those same three questions. Were you all able to follow my instructions and refrain from discussing this case with anyone since we left yesterday?
Yes.
Everyone said yes or nodded affirmatively. Were you also able to follow my instructions and refrain from doing any independent research or investigation into this case?
Yes.
Everyone said yes and nodded affirmatively. Did anyone happen to see, hear, or read anything about this case since we left yesterday?
No.
Everyone said no or shook their heads. Thank you. Here we have Mr. Burgess, please.
So I'll remind you, you're still under oath. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Mr. Alessi, whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Your Honor. Morning, Mr. Burgess.
Good morning.
On your direct examination yesterday, your experience was brought up in questions, correct?
Correct.
On your direct examination, your certifications were brought up in questions, correct?
Incorrect.
There was no discussion in your direct examination about having certifications in Cellebrite and Magnet Forensic Axiom that I misheard?
No, if I misheard your question, it was...
I asked about certifications. I'll repeat it, sir, in case I misspoke. On your direct examination, your certifications were brought up in questions, correct?
Yes, correct.
However, on your direct examination, no questions were asked of you at all about your supposed education, correct?
Correct.
And you did not bring up your educational background at all?
Correct.
On direct examination, correct?
Correct.
A forensic examiner must prioritize accuracy, correct?
Correct.
A forensic examiner must prioritize reliability, correct?
Correct.
Both are important?
Correct.
It's criminal proceeding we're in, correct?
Correct.
And therefore, accuracy and reliability are especially important in a criminal case as opposed to a civil case, correct?
I think they would be equally important in both, but yes.
But they're certainly important in a criminal case.
Correct.
And accuracy and reliability are especially important when seconds and minutes matter, as they matter and as you testify to in this case, correct?
Correct.
You testified yesterday that the events on the timeline contained in your PowerPoint presentation that was displayed yesterday and presented to the jury were accurate your words several times down to the second, correct?
Correct. For the Lexus, yes.
For the Lexus.
Yes.
You said they were accurate down to the second, correct?
Correct.
Let's take a look at your PowerPoint presentation that you discussed extensively before the jury yesterday. Mr. Wu, could we please bring up slide 32 of the presentation Mr. Burgess discussed with the jury yesterday? And Your Honor, with your permission to publish.
Okay.
Thank you. Mr. Burgess, pick your screen.
Sure.
Is this a true and accurate representation of your analysis of Ms. Reed's Lexus vehicle traveling to 34 Fairview Road and the O'Keefe residence?
Yes.
According to your timeline, Ms. Reed's vehicle powered on at 12:36 a.m. on January 30th, correct?
Correct.
Now, is your timeline on this slide accurate down to the second, as you stated in your direct examination yesterday?
For the power on and off events, yes.
Yes. Could we go to slide 33, please, Mr. Wolk? And we're going to go through a handful of slides.
Sure.
Mr. Burgess, just to give you a heads up. Is this a true and accurate representation of your analysis of Ms. Reed leaving the O'Keefe's residence at 5:07 a.m.?
Yes, it is.
And according to your timeline, Ms. Reed powered on her vehicle at 5:07:46 a.m. on January 30th, 2022, correct?
Correct.
Is the time on this slide accurate down to the second, as you stated in your direct examination yesterday?
Yes, according to the Lexus, yes.
If we could go, Mr. Wolk, to slide 34, please. And these are all your slides, correct, sir?
Correct, they
you
are.
You prepared them?
Yes.
Is slide 34 a true and accurate representation of your analysis of Ms. Reed traveling to the Dighton residence at 12:35:01 p.m.
12:35:01, correct.
I'm sorry, thank yes. you, 12:35. And according to your analysis, Ms. Reed powered on her vehicle to travel to Dighton at 12:35:01 p.m. on January 30th, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And is the time on this slide accurate down to the second, as you stated in your direct examination yesterday?
Yes.
Slide 35, please, Mr. Wolk. Is this a true and accurate representation of your analysis of Ms. Reed's vehicle being towed by the Massachusetts police vendor from her parents' residence in Dighton?
Yes, it is.
And pursuant to your timeline that you created here, Ms. Reed's vehicle was powered on at 4:11 p.m. on January 30th, 2022, and towed to the Canton Police Department, correct?
Correct.
Is your timeline on this slide accurate down to the second, as you stated in your direct examination yesterday?
Yes, this timestamp is.
Slide 36, please, Mr. Wolf. Is slide 36 a true and accurate representation of your analysis of Ms. Reed's vehicle arriving at the Canton Police Department?
Yes, it is.
And pursuant to the timeline you created, Ms. Reed's vehicle powered off at 5:36:42 p.m. on January 30th, 2022, correct?
Objection. Objection.
Oh, can we have this?
Okay.
Is your analysis down to, is your analysis on slide 36 accurate down to the second, as you stated in your direct examination yesterday?
Yes, according to the Lexus, yes.
According to the Lexus.
Yes.
In point of fact, Mr. Burgess, none of the five timelines that we just reviewed from your presentation are accurate at all, and certainly not down to the second. Am I right or am I wrong?
You are wrong.
Are you aware, and if we could go back to the first slide, which is slide 32, and we'll look at each of them quickly.
Sure.
Are you aware that all of the relevant events in the timeline you described in your presentation in these slides actually occurred on January 29th, 2022, not January 30th, 2022. Do you know that?
This is January 30th, 2022.
That's
January 29th, correct.
It's January 29th, 2022. And in terms of January 30th, I want to go back and make sure it's very, very clear. In your presentation, they actually occurred on January 29th, 2022, correct?
The night of the incident, yes.
Can I have a moment, Your Honor, please?
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Burgess, once that timeline crosses into midnight, it's January 30th, not January 29th, correct?
Correct. Yes, it is January 30th. Yes.
So in actuality, these five timelines, as you testified to them yesterday, are not accurate down to the second, correct? Because you got the wrong date.
Well, parlance, yes, but yes, they are still accurate to the second.
But the date, these five timelines, let's pursue this. These five timelines are exactly 24 hours off from the time where the event actually occurred, correct?
No, so these events occurred on January 30th. If I misspoke and said the 29th, yes.
Okay. You understand my point?
Yes, I do.
The core basis of your job, your role in this case, is to reconcile time discrepancies, as you say, down to the second, correct?
Correct.
But your discussion of the timeline on each of these slides, on each of these key events, is incorrect, correct?
No, it's not incorrect.
So your discussion of the applicable date, you're saying, as you described it yesterday and interpreted this timeline, was correct? Is that what you're saying now?
This timeline is correct,
but
yes.
My question is your discussion of it yesterday.
If I misspoke and said the 29th, then yes, I misspoke on that, yes.
And that was your testimony yesterday, what you spoke about?
Yes.
Let's turn to a different topic. Lights up, if we could, and thank you for taking that down, Mr. Wolf. Actually, to mitigate the inconsistencies that you analyzed yesterday between independent clocks, am I correct that your position is that forensic methodology recommends cross-referencing timestamps from multiple sources to identify discrepancies and, when possible, leveraging time anchors, events that contain both a system timestamp and an external physical event, to identify and correct timing discrepancies. Do I have that right?
Yes, you did.
Yesterday, we talked about the scientific method. You recall that, sir?
I do.
And how it's designed to prevent bias from infecting the analysis. You recall that as well?
Yes, I do.
And yesterday, you agreed that experts should never selectively gather and interpret evidence to confirm a pre-existing belief while neglecting evidence that contradicts those beliefs, correct?
Correct.
And doing that is called confirmation bias, which you said you understood yesterday, right?
That is correct.
That would be improper to do that, correct?
Yes.
It would raise the specter, if not the reality, of unreliability if that occurred, correct?
It could, yes.
And it could also lead into errors in forensic analyses, correct?
Correct.
Let's take a look at your January 30th report, sir.
Okay.
And this is your first report, your second report being the May 8th report. In your January 30th report, you did not issue any opinion or conclusion with regard to the timing of what you call the text stream event 11:62:02 in your January 30th report, did you?
No, I did not.
You didn't even mention either the phrase text stream event or the phrase 11:62:02 in your January 30, 2025 report, did you?
No, I did not.
But in that January 30, 2025 report, you did evaluate the variance between the Lexus infotainment system on the one hand and Mr. O'Keefe's iPhone data on the other, correct?
Correct.
In fact, in that report, the January 30th report, you compared the call logs on Ms. Reed's Lexus infotainment system with the call logs on Mr. O'Keefe's iPhone in order to evaluate whether there was a variance, correct?
Correct.
And do I have it correct in your report that it's the position that the timestamp call log data, specifically the recorded calls between Ms. Reed and Mr. O'Keefe, along with the infotainment power event logs, were analyzed for what you called clock skew by cross-referencing them against other independent data sources, right?
No, so that would have been comparing the timestamps from Mr. O'Keefe's iPhone with the timestamps from the defendant's Lexus.
Right, right.
Correct, yes.
Yes. Right, to Ms. Reed's Lexus.
Correct.
And a forensic comparison of these data sets was aimed to identify timestamp discrepancies, correct?
Correct.
To identify potential clock skew, correct?
Correct.
And potential clock drift that could impact event reconstruction, correct?
Correct.
All this stated in your January 30th report, right?
Correct.
Your Honor, may I have this marked as the next exhibit in order for identification?
Yes.
Excuse me.
Sure.
Thank you.
Exhibit BBB for ID.
Thank you.
May I present to the witness, Your Honor?
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Burgess, I am presenting to you what has been marked as Exhibit BBB for identification. I'd ask you to take a look at it, sir, and then pick your head up when you've had a fair opportunity to take a look at it.
Okay, sure.
Do you recognize that document, sir?
I do.
May we approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
Thank you. What do you recognize that document to be, sir?
Sure. So this is a graph that I put together that is comparing timestamps, call timestamps from the infotainment module with Mr. O'Keefe's iPhone.
And is that Exhibit BBB for identification in your January 30, 2025 report?
Yes, it is.
And did you create that chart that is depicted in Exhibit BBB for identification?
Yes, I did.
And is that a fair and accurate representation of the information that you discussed in page 33 of your January 30, 2025 report?
Yes, it is.
I offer Exhibit BBB for identification into evidence, Your Honor.
If we can introduce the whole report to put it
why
in context.
Why don't I see you inside there instead of the floor?
May I continue, Your Honor?
Yes.
Thank you. Your Honor, at this time, I offer Exhibit BBB into evidence.
Okay.
Exhibit 189.
Thank you.
They represented to the witness, Your Honor.
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Burgess, I am represented to you what is now Exhibit 189 in evidence. Ask you to once again take a look at it, and if you need further time, please take it, sir, and then pick up your head when you've had a fair opportunity to look at that document.
Okay.
Despite claiming the purpose in your January 30 report of, quote, identifying timestamp discrepancies, potential clock skew, and clock drift, you did not compare the time of the three-point turn between the infotainment system in the Lexus SUV and Mr. O'Keefe's phone, did you?
Not at that time, no.
Instead, you identified the potential variance by analyzing various calls on the infotainment system of the Lexus versus Mr. O'Keefe's phone, correct?
Correct.
This data in that exhibit captures a precise moment in time that is easily compared between the two devices, correct?
Correct, it does.
Mr. Wolk, Your Honor, may Mr. Wolk please publish this exhibit.
Okay.
So this data, just to reestablish, captures a precise moment in time that's easily compared between the two devices, correct?
Correct.
Now, according to your own table, there are potential offsets of, reading in the far right-hand column, 2 seconds, 1 second, 2 seconds, 1 second, 8 seconds, 16 seconds, and 21 seconds, correct?
Correct.
And yet, you failed to apply this variance to the infotainment time on the Lexus associated with
the Techstream event 1162-2, correct?
Correct. May I explain?
I will proceed along. I'm sure if Mr. Brennan has questions and wants you to explain, he may choose to do that. This is simple arithmetic, is it not? It's either an addition or a subtraction, the offset, correct?
Correct.
And yet, in your initial report on January 30th, 2025, you did not take that final analytical step, did you?
No, because these clock variances do not apply to that time frame.
But you didn't take, you know what analytical step I'm talking about, correct?
No, I don't. I don't believe so.
We'll come back to it. I want to go focus on your opinion. What you did do, as I understand it, in your January 30th report. So in your opinion, leave that up for a moment, please, because I want to see if we need to show the contrast. With your honor's permission, can we leave it up just a little bit longer?
Yes.
Thank you. In opinion number 5, and please feel free to look at your January 30th report.
Sure.
You indicated only this. The difference between the Lexus infotainment and Mr. O'Keefe's cell phone ranged between 8 seconds and 16 to 21 seconds during the period between 5:21, 36 a.m. and 5:30, 31 a.m. on January 29, 2022. Do I have that correct?
Yes, between 5:21 and 5:30 a.m.
Yes. Now what I'd like to do is, and we can take that down, thank you, Mr. Wolpe. Let's talk about what information you learned after you issued your January 30, 2025 report. Or at the time of that report, you received and reviewed a copy of a portion of your colleague's slide presentation and report at Aperture, Dr. Judson Welcher, correct?
From a presentation by Mr. DeSogra, yes.
Well, correct. I understand you want to add Mr. DeSogra. My question
objection.
Is...
Sustained.
Okay, yes, Your Honor, thank you. I'm focusing on the, what would you like to call it? You call it a slide presentation you prefer of Dr. Welcher?
Sure, we can.
I want to use whatever parlance you're comfortable with.
Slide's fine, yeah.
Slide. So the slide presentation of Dr. Welcher that he submitted the same day you submitted your report on January 30, 2025. And in that, he analyzed the timing of the 1162-2, what he calls an infotainment event, you call a text stream event, correct?
Could I see the slide we're talking about to clarify?
Absolutely. Could we publish what is in evidence of what is 188?
Okay.
And I'm also, sir, at your request, may I approach, please?
Yes.
At your request, I want to give you that, you know, if we have 188, we'll just give them the actual marked exhibit. You know what we'll do? We'll use the slide. If you need an exhibit, we'll pull the exhibit and move it along. Please publish, Mr. Wolpe. Now, if we could enlarge the text, we don't need the map, so make that as large as you can, please, Mr. Wolk, in the relevant portions. All righty. You're aware that according to Dr. Welcher's analysis, as depicted in this slide in evidence, the 1162-2, what he calls an infotainment trigger that you call a text stream event, right?
Correct.
The 1162-2 text stream event occurred at 12:31:38 a.m. on January 29, 2022, correct?
Correct.
And that's when it began, right?
That's when the trigger threshold was met, yes.
That's when the trigger threshold was met.
Correct.
You... We can take that down now, Mr. Wolk. You also testified yesterday that you reviewed Mr. Whiffen, Mr. Ian Whiffen's January report, which established a timeline of the last interactive events on Mr. O'Keefe's phone, correct?
Correct.
Your Honor, could we please publish Exhibit 39, which is in evidence?
Okay.
And we could go to slide 82 and have 83 available if we can enlarge the applicable sections. And what I'm going to ask you, Mr. Burgess, is to see whether these events are consistent with your memory of what the applicable events are. Do you see the column biometric device unlock with face ID event at 12:32:04 a.m.?
Yes.
Now that's after the 12:31:38 a.m. 1162-2 text stream event that's in Mr. Welcher's slide, correct, that we just saw?
Correct, the unadjusted Lexus clock, yes, timestamp. Yes.
So, but it's, I'm going to repeat the question. The 12:32:04 a.m. device unlock with face ID event is after the 12:31:38 and 12:31:43 1162-2 text stream event that is stated in Dr. Welcher's report, correct?
Correct.
Now, do you see the lock event which occurred at 12:32:09?
Yes, I do.
That is also after the 12:31:38 to 12:31:43 text stream event, correct?
Yes, the unadjusted time.
That 12:32:09 a.m. lock event is after the 12:31:38 to 12:31:43 range that is stated in Dr. Welcher's report, correct?
Correct, from the Lexus clock.
So, if we could go back, and we're going to toggle back with Your Honor's permission between these two slides for the next couple questions. If we can go back to and enlarge Dr. Welcher's slide. That 12:31:38 to 12:31:43 time period is what your colleague, the licensed engineer, Dr. Welcher, chose and his slide analysis as the last user interaction, according to him, on John O'Keefe's phone, correct? That's what he chose.
The 12:32:09, yes.
Now if we could go back to the And zero in, please. Now, but even Mr. Whiffen's report establishes additional activity on Mr. O'Keefe's phone after the event chosen by Dr. Welcher, correct?
Correct.
And in fact, Mr. Whiffen identifies a quote lock event that occurred 26 seconds after the 1162-2 text stream event identified by Dr. Welcher at 12:31:38 to 12:31:43, correct?
Correct, using the unadjusted clock.
I would like, does Dr. Welcher at all use the words unadjusted clock in his slide, sir?
No, he does not.
Okay, what I'd like to do is ask you a question about whether, in fact, Mr. Whiffen identifies a lock event that occurred 26 seconds after the 1162-2 text stream event at 12:31:38 to 12:43, as stated in your colleague's report, Dr. Welcher, the slide presentation. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Do you know whether a lock event on an iPhone requires human interaction?
Typically, yes, it would.
Is it just typically, or does it?
Well, it does. And in this case specifically, I believe it was via the lock button.
Correct. But this specific instance, the lock, it requires somebody, a human being, to actually press a button on the side, correct?
Unless it's auto-locking, yes. It requires a button press, yes.
Do you have any reason to believe that the iPhone of Mr. O'Keefe had an auto-locking function on it, sir?
No, as I said, he used the lock button.
Right. If we can enlarge that, do you see the end of health event 36 steps that we talked yesterday that was covering a distance of 84 feet? Do you see that occurring at 12:32:16 a.m.?
I don't believe we talked about that yesterday, but yes, I do see that.
Do you see it?
I do, yes.
And that's also after the 12:31:38 to 12:31:43 text stream event identified by your colleague, the licensed engineer, Dr. Welcher, in his slide, correct?
Correct.
Now, finally, do you see the entry pocket state detected at 12:33:14 a.m. You see that, sir?
Objection.
Sustained.
Do you know what a pocket state is, sir?
I do know what a pocket state is.
Do you know when the pocket states occurred on the iPhone of John O'Keefe pursuant to your analysis of his phone?
I do not.
You didn't analyze pocket state detections on Mr. O'Keefe's phone?
No, I did not personally.
Do you believe pocket state detected data? Well, let me just go back and confirm. So you didn't analyze with any source pocket state detection information with regard to Mr. O'Keefe's phone, is that correct?
That's correct.
So let's go back and summarize for each of the ones you did look at and analyze that you just testified. Every single one of those that we just discussed, those user interaction events, occurred after Dr. Welcher claims a collision occurred as represented in a text stream event of 1162.2 at 12:31:38 to 12:31:43, correct?
Objection.
Sustained.
Do you understand? If we can go back, please, to Dr. Welcher's slide. Highlight the text again, please, Mr. Wolk. (Clears throat) Do you understand that Dr. Welcher is correlating the infotainment trigger 1162-2 with an alleged collision? Do you understand that?
Objection.
Let's come to sideback, please. You can put it back up.
Thank you, Your Honor. If we could go now, Mr. Woke, back to the slide from Dr. Welcher's slide presentation. And if you could re-enlarge the applicable section that we've had up before. Thanks for your patience,
sure.
Mr. Burgess. You have reviewed this slide and this specific data in this slide previously, correct?
Correct.
And I just want to, Mr. Wolk, just go back to the slide so we're clear on what this is. So this slide here is what you're speaking about, right?
Correct.
And you've reviewed this slide prior to your testimony in this court, correct?
Correct.
And did you... And you considered this slide as part of your analyses that you have performed and testified about, correct?
Yes, I have.
So, now, Mr. Burgess, I'd like to ask you a question. Every single one of the user interaction events that we talked about, steps, lock, etc., occurred after Dr. Welcher's, what he calls an infotainment event, which you call a text stream event, in the range of 12:31:38 to 12:31:43, correct?
I would agree that yes.
So the answer is yes?
With the caveat...
I'm sorry, I didn't know you hadn't finished. Sure. Please finish your answer.
Yes, with the caveat that user interaction only applies to the device lock, right. Steps, and the pocket state are not duplicative of user interaction per se.
Let's just assume that is the case. Let's then just focus on what you consider to be a user interaction, which is device lock, correct?
Correct.
And the device lock event that you agree is a user interaction, we could go back to that just so we have clarity. The lock event that you agree is a user interaction occurred at 12:32:09, according to Mr. O'Keefe's phone, correct?
Correct.
In that 12:32:09 time period, we could go back to Dr. Welcher, is after the end of the text stream event dubbed as 1162-2, correct?
Correct, according
to... And that's 26 seconds... I didn't finish my question, I'm sorry, Your Honor.
So go ahead, finish your question. Don't answer, Mr. Burgess, until the complete question.
And that event lock, even according to Dr. Welcher's own words in his own slide, occurs 20 seconds after the end of the text stream event 1162-2, correct?
Of the unadjusted clock, yes.
May I have a moment, Your Honor?
Yes. Do you want the lights on, Mr. Lessing?
I'm going to keep that up. And so to repeat to alter it, hopefully make it a little clearer.
Sure.
So according to Dr. Welcher, the licensed engineers, your colleague at Aperture, his slide that he has here, the last O'Keefe cell phone event, the lock, occurred within approximately 26 seconds after the end of the text stream event dubbed 1162-2. That's what's stated there, correct?
Correct, according to the unadjusted clock.
You keep adding according to the unadjusted clock, but do the words according to the unadjusted clock appear anywhere in that slide, sir?
No, they do not.
We can take that down and, with the court's permission, turn the lights back on, please. Yesterday, you stated that you reviewed a presentation by another expert, Mr. DeSogra, who reviewed the findings of your January 30th report. Do you recall that, sir?
Yes, I do.
In fact, in your May 8, 2025 report, your second report, your first being the January 30th report, you only cite two new sources of data that you reviewed before making your conclusions, correct?
Correct.
We have a moment, Your Honor?
Yes.
May I approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
I'm going to need to be heard about on this as well.
All right.
May I proceed, Your Honor, and approach the witness?
Yes.
Thank you. Excuse me, Mr. Bridges.
Sir?
I'm going to present to you two documents, each of which is marked for identification. The first is Exhibit CCC for identification. That is one slide out of what is marked as Exhibit DDD. For identification, and Exhibit CCC is one page out of Exhibit BDD for identification. And I'd ask you, sir, to take a look at those documents and reference either one. And please, let me know, sir, when you've had a fair opportunity to review those documents so I can proceed with questions about them.
Sure. Okay.
Sir, can you please read the exhibit designation on the entire slide presentation?
On DDD.
Pardon me?
On exhibit DDD.
And that's triple D as in David?
Correct.
So in exhibit DDD, is that the March 5, 2005 PowerPoint presentation of Mr. DeSogra that you spoke about extensively yesterday?
Yes, it is.
And sir, before you came to court yesterday, did you review and consider the exhibit DDD for identification?
Yes, I did.
And as a matter of fact, you spent considerable time with regard to exhibit DDD before you came to court yesterday.
Correct.
And in addition, isn't it the case that your testimony yesterday is that exhibit DDD, the March 5, 2025 slide presentation of Mr. DeSogra, was part of the reason why you created your May 8th, 2025 report, correct?
Correct.
May I approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
Your Honor, I offer Exhibit DDD, excuse me, Exhibit CCC into evidence and do not offer Exhibit DDD at this time.
Okay. The witness just spoke of DDD, so why don't you have him just say what CCC is before we put it in?
I will do so, Your Honor. Thank you. Mr. Burgess, is Exhibit CCC a slide page out of Exhibit DDD?
Yes, it is.
Okay, now it'll...
Thank you for that, Your Honor. I now offer Exhibit CCC for identification into evidence.
Yes.
Thank you. And I also hand back to Madam Court Reporter Exhibit DDD for identification.
Exhibit 190.
And sir, do you have before you read the three letters, please, just so we're on the same page in that exhibit?
Jim, we need that.
Yeah. That the one that's in.
Thank you.
The one page.
Yes, Exhibit 190.
And that's the entitled All Possible Combinations?
Yes, it is.
So we'll refer to that as Exhibit 190, okay?
Okay.
Have you had a fair opportunity to refresh yourself on that one page chart?
Yes, I have.
Your Honor, may I please publish Exhibit 190?
Yes.
And if we could enlarge it without, I think, Mr. Wolk, we can obscure for the moment the all positive on the right and come back to that as needed. Thank you. Now, Mr. DeSogra, who is an expert for the defense, took the data points you evaluated in your January 30, 2025 report and simply performed the last step in your analysis that I was referring to in previous reports, correct?
Correct. For a lot of data points that do not apply for the time of the accident.
I understand you may have a view as to whether they apply or not. I'm just trying to understand
Objection.
What you understood so, he did.
Again,
I'll repeat. Yeah, yes,
so we'll strike the comment part and just a
I'll
question, please.
I'll repeat and just go to the question. So you understand that Mr. DeSogra took the data points that you evaluated in your January 30, 2025 report and simply performed the last step in your analysis, correct?
In my report, in addition to Dr. Welcher's.
Right, in addition to Dr. Welcher's.
Correct.
Now, what I want to do is just elucidate the columns and their meaning. So, the column on the right equals the number of seconds, and it's the far right, the number of seconds between the end of the 1162.2 text stream event that in the slide of Dr. Welcher is ending at 1231.43, and the lock event on Mr. O'Keefe's phone that's occurred at 1232.09, correct?
Correct.
And that's your understanding of that column as well?
Correct.
Now, even taking your colleague Dr. Welcher's assumption that the last user interaction on Mr. O'Keefe's phone occurred at 1232.09 a.m. on January 29, 2022, is Mr. DeSogra demonstrating in this chart that by using the clock variance that you calculated in your January 30 report, there are no circumstances where the
trigger event of 1162-2 occurs before the lock event on Mr. O'Keefe's phone?
Objection.
After.
Sustained. There's one part of your question that needs to be omitted.
In terms of this chart, do you agree that the methodology and application of it of Mr. DeSogra is that Mr. DeSogra took the last user interaction data point of Dr. Welcher in his slide of 12:32:09 and applied the clock variance that you calculated in your January 30th report? Do you agree that that's what Mr. DeSogra did?
No, I do not.
What do you believe Mr. DeSogra did here?
Well, so the math is correct. So when he's trying to adjust clock variances between the two devices, that math is correct, but he's applying incorrect adjustments.
I understand, but what I'm trying to get at is just what you understood Mr. DeSogra did in this chart.
Correct. I did understand, yes, okay. What he was trying to do.
And so do you agree, based upon what Mr. DeSogra did as represented in this chart, there are no circumstances where the 1162.2 text stream event occurs? Well, let me have you describe what you believe Mr. DeSogra is doing with regard to comparing, based upon this chart, the 1162.2 text stream event of Dr. Welcher with the lock event on Mr. O'Keefe's phone.
Sure. So he's trying to adjust the clock from the Lexus to the Mr. O'Keefe's iPhone clock. But he does that inaccurately.
Well, I understand you have an. I understand your comment. But my question, sir, is this: what do you understand Mr. DeSogra is doing with regard to this chart? Do you understand what he is doing in this chart?
Correct.
I'd just like you to state what it is you understand he is doing.
Sure. So he's trying to adjust timestamps.
He's trying to adjust timestamps. In adjusting timestamps, do you agree that Mr. DeSogra makes the point with this chart that there are no circumstances where the 1162 trigger occurs before the lock event on John O'Keefe's phone?
Gotcha.
Sustained.
All right. Can I have a moment, Your Honor?
Sure.
Let me see if I can clarify this in this my question.
Sure.
Do you understand that what Mr. DeSogra is doing in this chart is he is showing numerically and arithmetically that there are no circumstances where the text stream event 1162.2 occurs after the lock event on Mr. O'Keefe's phone?
Objection.
I'm going to allow it in that form.
Yes, I understand he's trying to show that.
Right. Well, he did more than try. Isn't that what he, by his math, that he is demonstrating?
Objection.
I'm going to allow that.
Yes, but it is inaccurate.
I understand. But that's, again, the question is that what he demonstrates using this chart?
Yes.
And what he demonstrates is that, Mr. DeSogra demonstrates, that there are no circumstances where the 1162.2 trigger event occurs after the lock event on Mr. O'Keefe's phone, correct?
Yes, inaccurately.
So, I'm asking what Mr. DeSogra demonstrates in this report, and isn't it correct that Mr. DeSogra, using this math, Mr. DeSogra demonstrates and concludes that there are no circumstances where the 1162.2 text stream event occurs after the lock event on Mr. O'Keefe's phone.
Objection.
I'm going to allow that. Does that demonstrate that?
Yes, inaccurately.
Okay.
So let's.
I'm going to move on, Your Honor. I'm going to move on. And this methodology and approach of Mr. DeSogra is simply math that he's using, correct?
No, it's not simply math.
Well, let's go to the clock variance values in the middle column on that chart. You see that, sir?
Yes, I do.
Those are, as of March 5 of the date of this, that this column was created, nothing in that middle column is new, is it? That data?
Yes, some of that data is new.
Well, the source data upon which it is created is not new, is it?
No, it is not.
All right, so the source data of that column, it's not new.
Correct.
And the middle column uses your data points from your January 30th report, correct?
No, not all of those are.
But it does use some of the data from your January 30 report, correct?
Yes, it does.
Is the reason that you did not take that final analytical step that we've been talking about in your January 30th report, and this is a question, is the reason you failed to take that final analytical support, or excuse me, final analytic step we've been talking about in your January 30 report was because you knew if you did that, that if you calculated the actual time of the 1162.2 text stream event based upon your own methodological analysis of the clock skew, there would always be continued interaction on Mr. O'Keefe's phone after the text stream event.
No.
So you deny that?
Yes.
Did you keep your January 30, 2025 report purposefully vague?
There's more live courtroom coverage coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a second from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.